Good morning. I'm going to come back just a little bit. Well, it looks like this morning from Plano, from Oak Leaf, from, I was going to say Forney, but I think I will say Rowlett. And then the only other west I could think was across Jim Miller. So from north, from south, from east, from west, we are gathered this morning, and we come to hear those holy words of faith that have been handed down through the ages, those ancient words that are ever true, changing me and changing you. Thanks be to God for His word that lasts forever. It is good to see you here this morning. We have multiple families who are traveling not only near, but also traveling very far, and so we keep them in our prayers as they do that. If you are visiting with us, it is good to have you this morning, and in just a minute, I will introduce Sarah, and she's no stranger to this congregation, but still a different face from time to time, so we're glad you're here. And for all who have not been here in a while, we are glad to have you back with us this morning. Take a moment to look at your bulletins. There are multiple things listed for the month of June and July. I don't know if we're even maybe into August, but lots of things going on. Thank you, Sarah. And even into August. So I know that there are many opportunities that we all have to serve, not only to serve Christ, but to serve others in our community and beyond. Let's see, I do not see someone, so I'm going to skip that announcement. We do have with us this morning Sarah Craig, and Sarah comes to us and speaks on behalf of children who are especially warmth to our hearts. She comes from Presbyterian Children's Homes and Services. And Sarah, I'm going to let you come up, and if you'll just use the lectern.
Good morning. Thank you for, I love it when I get a good response. Thank you so much for having me with you this morning. We are so grateful that with the prayers and support of faithful Presbyterians, just like you here at Eastminster, we have been serving children and families in need since 1903 here in the Dallas area. And while our organization has grown and changed a lot over the years, we now serve just under 5,000 children and families across three states. Our mission very much remains the same, and that's to provide Christ-centered care and support to children and families who are in need. And one of the ways that we provide that support is by supporting children and families to prevent children from being abused and neglected. And one of the ways we do that is our Child and Family Program, which we have here in Dallas. And that program assists at-risk families with counsel and support before abuse or neglect happens and helps those families stay together. And one example of helping families stay together was a woman named Carol who came to us for help. She was given custody of her four grandchildren when her own daughter, who suffered from mental illness, could no longer care for the children. And the children came into Carol's home with a lot of physical issues as well as a lot of emotional scars from the abuse and neglect they'd experienced in their home. And they faced a lot of special challenges. And Carol was not sure that she was prepared for raising another set of children, nor for the special needs that they faced. So when she came to our program, she was on the verge of having to surrender those children back into the care of Child Protective Services. So what prevented her from doing that was meeting Pam, our child and family worker. And Pam was able to give Carol the support she needed emotionally and physically, as well as help her learn how to parent children who were coming out of a traumatic background. So those children were able to stay with her. And Carol was, her oldest grandson, Taylor, he was having the hardest time really with the transition of being away from his mother and in a new home. And so they would do family team sessions together with Pam, and she'd do family counseling sessions. And during one of those family counseling sessions, at the end of it, Taylor got up and he came across the room and he gave Carol a hug, his grandmother, and then he left the room. And Carol started crying, and she said that that was the first time that he'd ever hugged her in his life. So that's just one example of the life-changing care that can be provided by our Child and Family Program and by Presbyterian Children's Homes and Services. So thank you for helping us provide that support that intervenes in the lives of families. But also, we're so grateful for the book review you all do that provides really critical financial support for us, as well as the school supplies you all will provide this year. You will help a lot of kiddos go back to school with exactly the supplies they need to be prepared. So thank you so much for the many, many ways this church supports our mission.
I think little feet, little hands, little hearts mean a lot to this congregation, and it's good to be able to serve a congregation that does. One last thing. If you are looking for a church home, if you have found us to be a community of faith where you would like to be more involved, where you would like to call this home, the session meets next, not next Sunday, the Sunday after that, and all it takes is for us to meet with you and to visit with you and to ask you questions simply about your faith. And so if you are thinking about that, praying about that, keep doing that, because so am I. Within the worship service today, we are going to have a commissioning service for not only our mission trip that starts next week, but also for Synod Youth Workshop. And not all of our kids are here this morning. They had some other commitments and are finalizing some things so they can go on the trip, but we will commission and give blessing to those that are here. What I would like you to do now is to simply close your eyes. And as I pray our opening prayer, I pray that the Spirit settles upon you. Lord, help us to now commit ourselves to be in silence, to rest for a moment, and to enter a time of peaceful reflection. And may we, by the gift of your Spirit present among us, allow this space and this place to offer your care to us, restful in your quiet, away from the busyness of our everyday lives. Amen.
I give you thanks, O Lord, with my whole heart. Before the gods, I sing your praise. On the day I called, you answered me. You increased my strength of soul.
All the kings of the earth shall praise you, O Lord, for they have heard the words of your mouth. They shall sing the praises of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord.
For though the Lord is high, he regards the lowly, but the haughty he perceives from far away. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, the Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. Your steadfast love, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the work of your hands. You may be seated. By the grace of Christ, let us make our peace with God and with one another by confessing our sin. Please join me.
We know that Scripture tells us that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. Christ is our sure peace forever. And believe the gospel and make that peace not only with one another, but make peace with our Lord, who in Jesus Christ forgives us for all times. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Let us open our hearts in prayer. God, help us to listen to our inner spirit, to the inner yearning to belong to something greater than ourselves. Help us to listen to your holy word and find there the presence of your good, encouraging spirit, your good and guiding message for our lives. Amen. The epistle reading today comes from 2 Corinthians 4, 13 through 5. Just as we have the same spirit of faith that is in accordance with Scripture, I believed and so I spoke. We also believe and so we spoke, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and will bring us with you into his presence. Yes, everything is for your sake, so that grace, as it extends to more and more people, may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. So we do not lose heart, even though our outer nature is wasting away. Our inner nature is being renewed day by day. For this slight momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all measure. Because we look not at what can be seen, but at what cannot be seen. For what can be seen is temporary, but what cannot be seen is eternal. For we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens.
Angels,
Thank you, choir. Our second lesson this morning comes from Mark's Gospel. And as you will be able to kind of read in between the lines, Jesus gets a little tired. People are following him everywhere, and there is little time, as we did this morning, to sit, to rest, to reflect. But he still, through the power of prayer, gains his energy and his strength to continue ministering. This is from Mark's Gospel, the third chapter, verses 20 through 35. Listen for the word of the Lord. And the crowds came together again so that they, meaning the disciples and the Lord, could not even eat. When his family heard it, they came out to restrain him, for people were saying, "He's gone out of his mind." And the scribes who came down from Jerusalem said, "He has Beelzebub, and by the ruler of the demons, he cast out demons." And he called them to him, and he spoke to them in parables. And he said, "How can Satan cast out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house is divided against itself, that house will not be able to stand. And if Satan has risen up against himself and is divided, he can't stand, but his end has come. But no one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his property without first tying up that strong man, and then indeed the house can be plundered. But truly I tell you, people will be forgiven for their sins and whatever blasphemies they utter, but whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit can never have forgiveness, but is guilty of an eternal sin. For they had said, 'He,' meaning Jesus, 'he has an unclean spirit.' Then his mother and his brothers came, and standing outside him, they sent to him and they called him. A crowd was sitting around him, and they said to him, 'Your mother and your brothers and your sisters are outside, and they're asking for you.' And Jesus replied, 'Who are my mother and my brothers?' And looking at those who sat around them, he said, 'Here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does the will of God is my brother and my sister and my mother.'" The grass withers, the flowers fade. This, the wonderful word of our Lord, does not change and last forever. Thanks be to God. It's been said that family matters, so take care of family matters. Family is a powerful and influential force in the development of who we are, whether that be a positive influence or a negative influence. And I am blessed to say that most of the defining moments of my life were on that positive side. I think I've shared this story with you before, but if you will bear with me just a moment. I think I remember telling you that at my parents' 50th wedding anniversary, I discovered that there was still my high chair in the nursery there at the church. And the ladies of the church wanted to know if I wanted it, and I mean, absolutely, who would not want that? And if you've been to my house, you have seen that in my dining room. It's not only a personal connection, though, to my family and to my childhood. It was one of those kinds of connections that deepened my faith and my conviction that the family that I call church was also extremely influential in shaping my life. And I believe that even by that one small gesture, it calls me to continue sharing the faith. Before Ryan and Katie moved to California, Molly sat in that high chair many times, and I suspect she will when she comes in August, and before long, little Morgan will be sitting in it. But one of my favorite moments was the last time that Dorothy, Gary's mom, came to visit us. Dorothy sat at the table eating her applesauce, and Molly sat in the high chair eating her applesauce. So we had grandmother, great-grandmother, we had granddaughter, and we had Share Bear. And it just doesn't get any better than that to me. With Molly and with Morgan, Gary and I are committed to sharing that faith that was taught to us from an early childhood. For me, from infancy, my family, my church family, provided that spiritual suitcase that you have heard me talk about before, that suitcase that I still take with me everywhere I go these days. It is full of things like patience and kindness and joy and love and goodness and self-control. You know, all of those fruits of the Spirit. And by the way, those of you who are coming up for commissioning service in just a moment, you might want to look at Galatians, the 5th chapter, the 22nd verse, because I'm going to ask you a question. Galatians 5:22. So, I have throughout all of these years opened that suitcase many times, and I am hoping that I have worn those contents of goodness and hope and joy, self-control. I hope I've worn them well. You also know that my parents both had grade school and junior high educations. Neither one of them finished high school even, and yet they were successful in what they did, and education was very important to them and thus important to us. I have done all kinds of things in my life, but when I look back at that, they have been patterned by what mostly my older brothers and sisters did. And as my brothers and sisters like to say, I had no idea what I wanted to do. I was a teacher, I was a paralegal, I was an alumni director, and then I was a pastor. I prefer to think that God was preparing me for this, my ultimate calling in all of those things. So if you're out there and you've done multiple things and someone is asking you, when are you going to settle down, say, I'm waiting on the Spirit. That'll get it. And one other thing that stands out in my mind, when I was in college and my mother's health was failing and I would go back home on the weekends, we would sit together at the piano and we would play and we would sing those old hymns that meant so much to her. And I look back now and those old hymns, those foundation of our faith hymns that come straight out of Scripture, those have shaped who I am today. I could go on and on with memories, and I know you all could too, and I hope one day you'll come and you'll share some of those memories with me. But it is because of my family and because of my faith families that I was raised and I was nurtured from the time I was a gurgling little baby to an inquisitive child. Then, I have to admit, up through my teen attitude years, and you know, I look back now and I really was a stinker. But all of those things helped me understand life and to understand my faith a little better. And my prayer is that for all of those that I now feel like I am nurturing, that I am helping, I pray that the faith that I am sharing, the faith that you are sharing, will help them have that suitcase that they need when they go away and they have to unpack it. Whatever Jesus has had packed in his spiritual suitcase for him, he has used it well as he has traveled from to the desert, to the sea, to those grain fields, to mountains and miles of places in between. It has given him the strength when he faces those clinging, those pleading, those criticizing crowds that were on the move every time Jesus is on the move. There is no rest for the weary. But what that suitcase did, it gave him compassion. It gave him confidence that he could endure all of these demands that people were making upon him. Heal me. Cast this demon from me. And it helped him face the criticisms. This man can't be of God. He heals on the Sabbath. He eats with sinners and with outcasts and tax collectors. Jesus' spiritual suitcase allowed him to answer all of the human need that we have, not with the letter of the law, but with the heart of God, with the fruits of the Spirit. In our lesson today, Jesus tries to steal away yet one more time for a little quiet. And once more, he is surrounded by the broken, by the needy, by the skeptics, by the critics. And among this horde of people, we even find Jesus' own family, his mother and his brothers. We're not quite sure what motivated them to be there, but when you look at the original Greek language, commentaries are pretty sure that they really did think he had lost his mind. And so his family has come to see what it is that he is doing. There are people who think that he is roaming the countryside, and some of those evil spirits that, you remember, he drove over the cliff in the pigs? Some of them are saying, I think one of those evil spirits must have lodged itself inside of Jesus. And so his family is concerned. They're concerned about his mental health. They're concerned about his physical health. I don't know. They might be even concerned about disgracing the family name. I don't know. But this scene is surrounded by chaos and by people. And Jesus, he is on the inside. He is eating with tax collectors. He's eating with those sinners who have turned disciples. He is doing the will of God, his Father. He is loving and he is accepting all of God's children. And outside, those religious leaders are sort of scratching their head, trying to figure out if Jesus really is indeed doing God's good work or if he's just a troublemaker. They have these questions about who's in the family, who's not in the family. And we know this, and we've asked ourselves this question before. Do we do the same thing? Do we question who's in at Eastminster and who's out at Eastminster? Are there times when we spend too much time working on, asserting, trying to figure out the right things to do, the orderly things to do, the strategies, so we can figure out who can be in and who can't be out, instead of doing what Jesus did and just sitting down and sharing a meal. I think sometimes when we rule and regulate ourselves to death, we miss the movement, the surprising movement of the Spirit. And in this particular moment, Jesus is allowing the Spirit through him to show others what he means by the family of God. How often in our own lives have we strategized with the greatest of care? We've gotten all of our ducks in a row. We have printed out the plan, only to have those plans changed. The car breaks down, someone gets ill, the weather has a mind of its own. But you know what? Most of us don't give up. Most of us simply rethink, redirect, we change directions, and we try to make peace with the new situation. So is it so far-fetched that God can come into our very organized lives, into the very organized lives of our churches, and ask us to go a different direction, to help us make peace with the plans that God has for us? Is it too hard to imagine that God can show us the possibilities that we never imagined, expected, and certainly that grace that we have never believed that we deserved? What we don't always get, or we don't always get what we expect, and neither did Jesus. Family matters. So take care of family matters. Jesus did. He listened for the will of his Father, and he prayed that his family and his friends would change directions in order to be drawn closer to God. And we know Jesus will only ask us to change directions if it brings us into a closer relationship with our triune God. And our epistle lesson, I think, is that sort of spot-on reminder to us now that while we live in these temporary tents that we call bodies, one day we're going to have our final resting place where we will all be at home with the Lord and with all of our family members. Just when Jesus thinks he's going to sit down, he's going to have this quiet meal, this conversation with his friends, here come mom and brothers. Perhaps they're thinking they're going to do a little bit of family intervention. At the same time, the religious leaders are outside wondering if the demons are really within Jesus. But in Jesus' heart, he knows that he is doing the will of his Father, and he knows that that means he is doing good. The religious leaders are not convinced. Beelzebub, they believe, is directing what he's doing. I found it interesting when I was looking at this passage that most of the commentaries say that the greatest sin in this particular scenario is that people fail to see goodness and evil, to know the difference between them, but to not only know the difference between them, but to choose the good. We know good, we know evil. We are called to choose the good every time. Jesus' frustration, it seems, is about dismissing family. But that's not what he's doing. What is really going on is that he is redefining family. For Jesus, family is a group of people who are marked by the choices that we make. Family is whoever does the will of God. That doesn't mean our blood and flesh families come second. It just means that we include as family everyone who does the will of God. In God's family, it doesn't matter if you are a religious leader, if you are a disciple sitting at the table with him. It doesn't matter if you are a mother, a father, if you are a sibling. Jesus looks around at him at all of the brokenness, those who fit, the misfits, those who are clued in about power, and those who are not clued in about grace. And he says, "This is my family." God's family isn't just about those who are standing on the inside. It is about those who stand on the outside. It is about a circle of grace that is never ending, that is ever widening. And our responsibility as part of that family is to keep that circle flowing, to keep that circle open, to let people know and hear the redeeming love of God in Jesus Christ. I think that most humans recognize that we have this need to be part of something that is bigger than ourselves, and maybe even sometimes when bigger is unsettling, because being part of God's family, being part of a larger family, can be unnerving at times. And it can be because families, our own and larger families, are the ones who perhaps help us toe the line, who perhaps set some boundaries for us. But a family of faith is also there to care for us, to encourage us, to nurture us, to teach us. They are there to pack those spiritual suitcases that you and I are going to need for all of our lives. And that is not just at Lily's age when she's getting ready to head to college, or those who are going on a trip and packing. That spiritual suitcase is something we open our entire lives. And when we have had a good suitcase packed for us from the beginning of life, then our lives are shaped by the goodness, by the fruits of the Spirit. Jesus in this passage gives the family and gives us a really strong commandment. He says, "Get out of the way of God's courageous and gracious power." Because those who impede God's attempt to heal the world are the ones who are out of their minds. "Not me," Jesus says. Those who stand in the way of God's attempts to redeem relationships with God are those who have the unclean spirits. "Not me," says Jesus. There is a never-ending good news for us in this story, that through God's forgiveness in Jesus Christ, that invitation to be part of the family remains open. It is never, ever closed. So starting today, no matter what the past has offered you, no matter what the past has offered me, no matter what the past has offered these young people who are being blessed by the children's homes, no matter what that is, think not only of yourself, but think of what you want to pack into someone else's suitcase. Family matters. So take care of family matters. Listen for the will of God in your life, even as you model and as you encourage the will of God for others. And you, Lily, and Jacob, And all of the others who are going on these trips, Jesse and Coy and Mason and Mason and Gary and Katie and Tammy and Kayla and Tom, all of you believe that your family and your family of faith have packed and will continue to pack your suitcases well. And I know Lily's, yours are packed well. And I know Jacob, yours are also. On this mission trip, I want you to open them. I want you to use them. And I want you to listen for the will of God in everything you're doing. Family matters. So take care of family matters. Take care to listen to the will of the Lord, following in the footsteps of your brother, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Please stand. In our standing, in our saying, in our hearts, may we believe the faith we affirm this day together.
Join me down at the font. If I can have Kayla and Tom and Gary and Jacob and Lily. Katie. Okay. How many of you just did your homework?
Oh, I did.
Good. On this trip also will be Mason, between mission trip and synod, Mason Gonzalez, Mason Sykes, who is Blair's nephew, Jesse and Coy, and who else? Tammy. Tammy Krause is going to be helping us with driving to synod. So, fruits of the Spirit. Oh, this girl is good. Did you just hear that? She just repeated them. Okay. There you go. Okay, here we go. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I don't think many of us could do that either. So,
it's easy.
This year, the group is going to the coast, where, as you know, was just devastated by water and floods. And I think for the most part, you were going to be doing demolition, and now you're going to be doing
landscaping.
And you can revoke him from God. Yeah. Yes. But at Synod Youth Workshop, as you know, the whole conference spends an entire day doing mission work of all kinds. And so their hands and their feet are going to be well used in the next couple of months. And so we want to send you off with a prayer and a blessing. But before we do, if I had to ask you which one of these you will pray for most as you are in the sweltering heat of the coastal area coming down here, would it be love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, or self-control. What do you want most?
Joy.
Self-control. I can repeat.
I'd say self-control.
Self-control.
Patience.
Patience. Self-control. Self-control. We're in trouble, folks. We do want to send you off with this blessing, and I will also let our other young ones who are not here know that we are sending them off with the same blessing. But congregation, are you ready to send them off with an amen?
Amen.
Amen. The work will be done well. Open up your suitcases. Each one of you has wonderful spiritual gifts within that suitcase for you. But as you go, would you gather around and let's pray. And pray with us. Lord, you call us to service to be your eyes and your ears, your hands, and your voice in this, your world. To open our eyes not only to the beauty and the love which you create, but also, God, to the injustice, the hate, the suffering that humankind generates. To open our ears not only to the chattering of this coming week, this summer, but to the searching, the fears, and the questioning of all whom we shall meet. You ask us to open our hands not only to those who choose our lives to share, but in welcome, love, and fellowship to all that you bring close to us. You ask us to open our mouths not only to speak platitudes and simple words, but the truths that you lay upon our hearts, your word in your world. You call us to service, to be your eyes and your ears, your hands and your voice in this, your world. May your hand now, Lord, rest upon each hand here, each voice within, every eye and each ear, as you send them out to serve in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you all. Go with God. This morning, may our tithes, may our offerings, may the celebration of life that is in this place this morning go beyond what we receive just for us and be used in the world that is God's world. Let us receive God's tithes and our offerings.
Thank you.
From your creation, we give back to you for your glory. Use our offering for those in need and our gifts to spread your love. Amen.
A reminder this morning with our benediction and dismissal that we do not do anything on our own. And from last week, the reminder that through Christ and through Christ's strength, we can do all things because there is much to be done. There's much to be done. There is so much to be done. The grace of Christ who loves us and gives himself for us. And so we will go and we will do what we can. We will put our trust in God and all of our days will not be in vain. May the love of God, the peace of Christ, the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit be with you this day and forevermore. Amen.